Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
One of the questions I've been getting nonstop, Chris, is why is it that in places like West Virginia, you can still play golf, but you can't here in Western PA? And we are pleased to be joined right now by the executive director of the Pennsylvania Golf Association. Mark Peterson is going to help answer and troubleshoot some of those questions right now for us. Mark, thanks for joining us. How do you respond to that? Why can't people here in Western Pennsylvania jump on a golf course?
Well, I think the answer is pretty clear and easy. It's the executive order of Governor Tom Wolf. I wish I had greater logic as to the decision, but hey, he put down the rule, and I think that's what we got to follow, to be honest.
Mark, one of the things I immediately think of when you say that is Mike DeWine, the governor in Ohio, was even more proactive than almost any other governor in any other state as far as trying to restrict crowds, basically get out ahead of this as much as he could. In fact, I think that was happening as early as like March 11th or 12th, I want to say. And yet, sure, if I were to head out the turnpike and get off the first exit in Ohio and drive down Route 7, I could go play Firestone Farms tomorrow in Columbiana. And so it's perplexing to me that in a state that neighbors this one, where the governor was more proactive in shutting most things down, that golf courses are still open. That's hard for me to figure.
Yeah, I know. It's hard for a lot of us to figure. Look, I'm one of the many frustrated golfers. I live very close to a golf course. I've been playing during the days when we were still open and when this executive order came down. You know, my clubs have been in my trunk ever since. And, you know, I'm searching like everybody else about an opportunity. Look, if you lived in the Northeast in Pennsylvania, you'd be going to New York. If you lived in the Southeast in Pennsylvania, you'd be going to Delaware. You know, I wish I had a better answer as to the logic. You know, look, I'm going to be part of the supporting team, like our counterparts at the West Penn Golf Association or our PGA sections and golf course owners. You know, there's great opportunities for social distancing and recreation in golf. But the reality is we're told that we can't do it. And yeah, it's painful. I hear everybody. Trust me, we're getting calls and emails and wondering what we're doing. We're trying to get it changed, but you know, we're also trying to do the right thing and mm-hmm. be safe and what the governor's asking us to do.
Mark Peterson, executive director of the Pennsylvania Golf Association, is with us. Mark, I know that there's clearly bigger priorities, and the Governor Wolf and the state legislature or the state government has things that are more pressing. But have some of those complaints, to the best of your knowledge, been forwarded to the governor's office? Has there been any clarification from them on this issue?
So to the answer of clarification, no, very little clarification. Has there been anything done? Yes. The morning after the executive order came out, we, along with our partners, as I stated, in the section pros, the golf course owners, the superintendents, individuals like West Penn and Terry Teasdale, we sent a letter of request asking for at least the fields of golf to be open, right? So maybe you can't go into the clubhouse. You can't sit down and have a burger like you're not supposed to do in restaurants. But can you walk and carry your own? That was our request. The answer was no. We didn't get anything more as far as a clarification, but we were informed that that's not going to happen right now. So we did ask for a clarification to make certain we could maintain the golf courses. I mean, as you can imagine, spring is popping here on our side of the state, as I live in just outside of Philadelphia. Greens need to be cut. You know, treatments need to be put down. So when this order is lifted and we're able to play golf, we're able to hit the ground running.
Mark,
I know there's a lot of other clubs that have asked for a specific waiver mm-hmm. to this order, and other than two that were initially granted, everybody else has been turned down, and those two that were initially granted that I know of were also then rescinded.
Mark, I guess my question becomes, so you've gotten no clarification, clubs have requested waivers, which were first granted, like you just said, then rescinded. What, if any, recourse do you have now, or is this just a waiting game? Can you continue to lobby the governor's office? Can you do anything, or are you waiting like the rest of us at this point?
Well, you know, we've sent our requests on behalf of the associations and the allied partners in golf. You know, I'm on a lot of email chains that ask for petitions to be signed to get golf open. You know, there's a lot of clubs that are reaching out to their representatives to see if there's a possibility. But, you know, it's at this point in time, it almost feels like a waiting game. I wish there was something else we could do. I mean, we could continue to reapply and all of that, but there's a lot of businesses that are doing the same thing.
Yeah.
And golf is no different. You know, imagine if you owned a daily fee public golf course, right? You would want it to be open.
Sure.
These are the times where you've been waiting all winter to make some money, and now it's not happening. So,
Mark, it's interesting to me that like a place like South Park here in Pittsburgh, where people can freely go and take advantage of a public park and walk around and ride bikes and use all those facilities, and there's a public golf course right there that they can't use. And to me, like, it's hard for me to reconcile that, you know.
It's the same thought that I have. It's the same thought that a lot of truly golf addicted people. Look, I live about 4 miles from Valley Forge Park. They've now closed all parking lots and all trails. And what did the people do? Well, they parked on the side of the road.
Yep.
Now they actually have snow fences up along the side of the road. So look, I can create a great argument for better social distancing than walking down a trail with 400 other people when there's very little recreational opportunity to access, especially on a 60 degree day like it is today. But, you know, it's not in the cards right now. So Mark, I guess people can continue to sign the petitions. Clubs can continue to ask for waivers. We'll see what happens. But by and large, you know, I think we're also at the point where the safety of you know,
sure,
our club employees, the safety of our fellow friends, of our family members, we got to think of that first.
Yep.
Mark, what's the financial impact? Have you even been able to calculate across the state what the financial impact of this decision has been so far and might continue to end up adding up to be?
You know, it varies. You know, and it varies because there's different facilities, right? There's the public facilities that are being hard hit right now as they're opening, right? If there were snow on the ground, we wouldn't be talking about this,
sure,
right? We'd just be closed and dreaming of warmer days for it to melt. So those public facilities now are looking at lost revenue. And, you know, I've talked to one individual that, you know, it's anywhere from $75,000 to $150,000 in April of revenue. Now, that doesn't also take into the savings of expense, but that's a real number that I was given. If you think of the private clubs, many of the private clubs often bill their members, you know, early in January, maybe even February or March. So those clubs, while they've received the dues, they still have their ongoing expenses and labor costs and all of those things. So it's a significant number. You know, golf is a multi-billion dollar industry here in Pennsylvania. I don't have a specific number that I could give without it being a guess that I'm certain would be analyzed and critiqued in,
sure,
in a multitude of ways.
Mark Peterson, the executive director of the Pennsylvania Golf Association, joining us here on The Fan. Did you, just to go back for a second, when you were talking about upkeep on these courses, Maybe I missed it. Are people allowed to go and clean up the course, or no? Is that also off limits?
So what the term that we were given was basic maintenance, right? So the way that we, and again, we've asked for clarification to make certain that we could provide appropriate information to our member clubs. But what we've defined basic maintenance as, or recommended it to be, because we have no authority, we're just an information source at this point, is yes, cutting the greens, sure, no problem. Providing appropriate chemical treatments for things that might pop in early spring, no problem. Starting phase of your golf course master plan and bunker renovation, you know, probably not what we would term basic maintenance. But we can't just let golf courses grow and grow and grow for the next 30 to whatever, however many days, and then expect us to be able to go back and scalp them and have them ready to go. It doesn't work that way. So we have to make certain that we maintain the courses appropriately to provide adequate care for the investment that's already been funded into these golf courses over the years, so that when we open, we're ready, it's time to go. Hopefully people are still itching to play golf.
Mark, do we know about the petition that you referenced, where it's at right now? Like, is it something that's online? Are there a bunch of them? Is there one that you'd want to direct people towards?
I can look it up while we talk. I think the one that I saw was on change.org, and it's Let's Play Pennsylvania, Let's Play Golf.
Okay.
A general Google search will get you there. Initially, 3 days ago, they were trying to get to 5,000. Then I saw it again, forwarded it to me this morning, and they were up to nearly 15,000. So, you know, there's a lot of information out there. There was a study by the National Golf Foundation, which was actually analyzing the Google searches in a variety of areas.
Mm-hmm.
And it's basically telling us that in a number of areas, it didn't reference Pennsylvania, but people are searching for what golf courses are open, things to do about golf. So,
yep.
Look, there's interest in the game, and it's a great recreation, and it provides appropriate social distancing if all of the keys are followed, and that is also online if you actually wanted to search for that. People can get pretty creative. You know, the pool noodles that kids use, well, they cut off a small section of that, put it around the bottom of the flagstick so that your ball doesn't go all the way in the hole, and you can pick it out with just a finger as it goes in maybe a quarter of an inch.
Wow.
Or a half of an inch.
Mark,
you know, things like that. We don't want to have people touching the flagsticks and other stuff. So.
Sure. And obviously that rule changed in the last couple of years. I am not in any way advocating this, so I have to put the disclaimer out there of people that go out and play golf here in Pennsylvania while this is in effect. Do we know what the penalties are? I mean, if somebody got caught on a golf course right now, what would happen? Do we know?
Well, I think, you know, the penalty is can be answered in two ways. One, it may fall on the club if they have not put up appropriate signage or informed their members or their potential customers that they're closed. If they haven't done that, then the club is liable, as we understand it. And again, I'm a golf administrator. I'm not a lawyer.
Right.
I'm not a lobbyist or
sure.
Anything. I run golf tournaments for a living.
Yeah.
The other aspect is if they have done that, what we've been informed, then it really falls on the golfer who may, you know, have some form of trouble. But look, just like my reference to the parks or to the trails at Valley Forge, I'm sure there are people playing golf when they're told they're not supposed to. I'm sure there are clubs that are enforcing it at different levels than others. We, again, are going to give the company line that we all need to do what's right in order to stay safe for not only our future of the game, but for our families and our loved ones.
Mark Peterson, Executive Director of the Pennsylvania Golf Association. Again, there's a petition up on change.org. We've been getting a ton of questions slammed on this topic, and Mark was kind enough and generous enough to give us some insight. Mark, really appreciate it. You have a good day. Stay safe, okay?
All right, you do the same.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. and great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.